Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Interesting, Ruth, how stuff that we've been talking about on the podcast mm-hmm. has sort of made it into the public domain. You were telling me what Netflix and chill means.
Yeah.
It's a euphemism for doing a bit of hanky-panky in the home.
Hanky-panky.
Well, it's an old-fashioned thing.
It reminds me of Michael McIntyre. When he does that bit where he's like, you can have hanky-panky, but you never just have hanky. Chit-chat, you can have a chat, but you can never just have a chit. That thing he does.
Oh, does he do that?
Yeah. Like words that only have, like, underwhelmed and overwhelmed, but you can never just be whelmed.
That's right, and you can be disgruntled, but you can't be gruntled.
Yeah.
Although you did, in one of the podcasts, have, what was it, gruntage?
Umbrage.
But I said gruntage. Gruntage, yeah.
Which sounds better.
It does slightly.
Arguably.
Well, things are going to the public.
In my name, like, ruthless, but you can't ever just have Ruth.
Mm. The things that have gone into the public domain are Netflix and chill, which you explained to us, and the other one is
Jermaine. I thought everyone knew what that meant already, to be honest.
Well, I didn't, and it appears
did
a lot
you
of it, no, and it appears a lot of other people. Well, I didn't. You remember on the podcast?
But I thought, you know, you're putting it on.
Did you think it was just for effect?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit
a professionalism. No, it wasn't. I really didn't know. But there's been a debate in Private Eye, the magazine, about Netflix and chill, because there was a thing about millennials not having sex these days because they just Netflix and chill. And then somebody did write into the magazine to say, well, Netflix and chill does actually mean getting up to whatever.
So you're ahead of the times.
Well, what I'm saying is you heard it first right here on the Ruthie, Me and My Dad podcast. And the other thing that's gone into the public domain is Jermaine Greer. A few podcasts back, if you remember, we were talking about Jermaine Greer and how the modern breed of radical feminists are being, I mean, not only criticising her, but being extremely intolerant towards her.
Really? You see, that's not right. You should never be.
Yeah, well, she's 79 years old, but that's no, you know, we've already said we're not cutting slack for people just because they're old. We'd said that in one of the podcasts as well, didn't we?
Yeah, when people are like, oh, it's just my grandma, she's just racist.
Yeah.
But it's like, well.
79 years old, but anyway, in recent months, according to a piece written by Camilla Long, she's been met with uniformly seething hatred and vitriolic shutdown.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. What does vitriolic mean?
Vitriolic means, it just means, when I say shut down, it means shut down with extreme prejudice.
Shut down hard.
Yeah, precisely. And this is because of what she said about rape. This is as I read what she said. Sentences are very long. So if you put someone away for rape, you're putting them away for 7 years, nine years, 10 years, right? And she's saying, because all rapes are considered the same, whether they're violent rapes or any other sort of rape, it means that it's very hard to convict. So what you end up with, as she said, it's a lose-lose situation. She says if you had a sort of grading on rape, if you like, so that some rape she described as just bad sex. So,
but that's not rare.
No, well,
if it's non-consensual, if it's non-consensual, then it is rape.
Well, she says it's sort of non-consensual, but it's a grey area. There has to be a grey area in it, is what she was saying.
Why does there have to be a grey area in it?
Because if you get drunk in a nightclub and pick up a chap,
someone
to pick you up.
Someone who's drunk is not in a position to make a judgment, so they're not in a position to give their consent, therefore the man shouldn't go through with it, or the woman, depending on who the one who is raped is.
What I'm saying is, these arguments will, or what Jermaine Greer was saying actually is, those arguments in that grey area will be played out in court, and there will be all sorts of personal details, and it's, as she says, it's a lose-lose situation. I'll find out exactly what she said. She wants more nuanced methods of justice. It would stop rape trials becoming the monstrous lose-lose circuses in which either the defence or the prosecution, and probably both, comes away with their life in tatters, or with their lives in tatters.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of some cases, particularly student cases, where they've had to argue out that the chap thought the woman was giving her consent. When both parties were probably slightly drunk. And that's more, I think it's an area for discussion. You may be right. The point that you were making is that non-consensual sex is the definition of rape.
Yeah.
But...
So, yeah, you can't have, there should be no such thing as non-consensual sex, because non-consensual sex is rape. There might be different degrees of rape, but to categorise something and be like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad, so that can't be rape, is wrong. It's still something that will really, like, damage people. And especially women, where the power balance is always going to be weighted to men.
But what she said, I suppose the key point of this, is she worth a hearing? Is she worth listening to? Because a lot of the people...
Oh, yeah, of course she's worth listening to. Everyone's worth listening to.
Mm. You say that. A lot of your fellow feminists are saying not. Don't listen to her.
Well, I don't think that's right, because same as I said about Jermaine Greer, and there's no one way to be a woman and there's no one way to be a feminist. So in The Handmaid's Tale, for example, her mother is a really like radical feminist and she's very outspoken and stuff. And the daughter, June or Offred, is... a lot more conservative than her, and it doesn't mean that either one of them are more valid, and that's like one of the things that's played out.
Are you sure about the book or the television show?
The book and television show, but the book.
So are you watching The Handmaid's Tale on TV?
Yes.
So, but you're giving sufficient time. I'm just worried that if you're watching The Handmaid's Tale, you haven't got enough time to concentrate on Love Island.
Oh, nothing could ever sound more... Handmaid's Tale is only once a week, and it's on a Sunday, which is when Love Island's not on. Oh, it is on, but it does like a recap show of like top 10 moments, and I don't watch that.
But if you do want a recap of Love Island, stand by. Well, as you know, I have not watched minute one of Love Island, but I know it's a phenomenon. It got like 6 million.
It got, yeah, it was like, phenomenal. I think the viewing ratings were
like 2.2.
ITV2, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like 2.3 million for the first one.
It's a phenomenon. Well, tell me why. Tell me all about what's going on.
10 single hotties enter the villa.
Single hotties, yeah.
Enter the villa, and they all have to, so they walk, the men walk down the stairs and the women are lined up there, you know. They should be. And the men.
So feminist.
Caroline Flack is there, and she's like, if you like the guy, you have to step forward, and then the boy gets to choose out of all five of them. But he would usually go for one of the people that steps forward. So Niall comes down, Kendall steps forward, he chooses Kendall, then someone else steps forward and whatever. And then Alex goes down. No one steps forward for Alex, so he chooses Laura.
Why does it, is he not, is it all physical attraction?
Yeah, so this point it's all physical because they've not even spoken to each other. It's a bit like Take Me Out, you know, like, hi ladies, I'm Jerry from, and I'm a window cleaner from Blackpool, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. But they don't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. So Alex is a doctor and he's probably the only one with two brain cells to rub together, but no one steps forward for him because...
What's wrong with him? Is he just a bit skinny, a bit fat, a bit...
He's a bit skinny, he's a bit awkward, he's quite shy, he's a bit pale, he's not very good looking. But, I mean, he seems nice. Seems nice enough. So no one steps forward for him, it's quite sad. Then they all couple up, and so everyone's got five people, five girls, five boys. And then Adam walks down the stairs, and Adam and Caroline Flack's like, tomorrow night there's going to be a recoupling, and Adam, you have to get to steal one of the girls.
Right.
So then this happens.
But at the moment they're not doing it. When you say coupling, they're just talking to each other. Sort of thing,
they well, kiss, they have to sleep kiss? In the same bed.
Oh, they
sleep
don't the
same kiss,
bed.
But they have to sleep in the same bed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a bit uncomfortable, I would have thought, two people just sleeping.
Yeah,
the same
no,
bed.
I think it is kind of, but like...
Until they show that
that's part
TV,
of the show.
Is it?
What? Well, right. Yeah. Yeah, they show it and then the lights go off and then... They, like, the programme, like, turns the lights off for them. Like, they don't get to turn the lights off themselves. And so, currently, Danny Dyer is in there.
This is Danny Dyer's
Dyer's daughter, also named Danny Dyer. Yeah. And there she's with a boy called Jack. Jack and Danny. There was jokes about that, you know, cause in Cockney rhyming slang.
I always mean something rude in
Cockney.
I mean, I can guess.
See, I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, I know you know your rhyming slang, or a little bit of it, don't you?
Yeah, apples and pears.
Yeah, but we don't say the full thing, do we?
No, we just say apples. Like what was the other one we learned?
Whistle and flute. But you just say
what's
whistle, you don't say whistle and flute suit.
Oh, yeah. That's a lovely whistle you've got on there.
Yeah.
So everyone thought that this boy Adam was going to steal Danny, mm-hmm. and he didn't. He stole Kendall. They went on a date and they kissed on this date, but she was with Niall and she said she liked Niall and it was a whole thing. And Laura wanted to be picked by Adam. And anyway, it's fine. But what I really want to talk about is why are they all so horrible to Alex? They did this challenge where they had to... I feel embarrassed even saying I watch this because it's actually the most ridiculous thing in the world. So the boys stood on one side, the girls stood on the other, and there's a big spinning wheel in the middle, and suitcases come down because the theme this year is like travel and aeroplanes and stuff. On the spinning wheel, there's different sections for each of the people. So if the section is Kendall and the suitcase lands there, then Kendall has to get the suitcase, and inside it'll say a fact. So one of them was like, this boy once spent £1,000 on a date. And then the girl has to go and like snog the boy that she thinks the fact is about.
Right.
And if you get it right, then you get a point. Hopefully, fingers crossed, there's two new girls entering the villa tonight. And hopefully one of them is going to go on a date with Alex.
Yeah.
And they might like
it. Well, this is constructed reality, isn't it? So one assumes...
No, it's not constructed, this. Constructed reality is like Made in Chelsea.
Right. Does this not... this sounds to be a little bit like Made in Chelsea.
No, because this is like...
This is more
they
a
say whatever
this
they
is
want.
A contest.
Yeah, this is a contest.
And
so whoever...
How do you win it? How do you
win it? Okay, so in each recoupling, there's... You might be dumped from the island if you're not in a couple. So if you're not chosen by one of the girls or one of the boys, depending on who's choosing the couples, then you might be dumped from the island. And what you want to be is in a really strong couple at the end, and then the public will vote on whoever they think is the best couple. And the couple with the most votes wins £50,000.
Oh, right. Well, you mentioned the theme is travel and aeroplanes. I wondered how you felt about this. This is Kirsty Alsop. Have you heard what she said? She's revealed that when she goes on holiday... When she gets to the plane, because she's very rich, she's got millions of pounds from these television shows she does.
Mm-hmm.
When they got on the aeroplane, she turns left and goes into club class, the beauty and the luxury of club class. She sends her kids into economy.
Oh, I have seen, like tweets about this actually.
She's
yeah.
a lot of Twitter activity on this. And I wonder what you felt. She says she's doing it to show them that club class or first class on an aeroplane is something you get through hard work, and being, you know, it's something
you get if you're very lucky to have a job that pays well. I'm sure there's lots of people who work really, really hard and don't get to sit in club class. I mean, I bet you would say that you work hard, you don't get to sit in club class.
Well, I do if somebody else is paying for it. If I'm doing a travel piece. What are you saying? Are you saying that Kirsty Alsop's full of it?
Maybe I'm being a bit communist here, but I don't think there should be any club class. Everyone should sit in the same seats.
Well, you know, the airlines need to make money.
No, I know, I don't care.
You know,
honestly,
it's
I
an
actually.
Issue you're not even bothered with.
Also, it's how you raise your own children, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
But I think she's wrong, to be honest. I think that if you can afford to buy club class for your kids, they should sit with you in club class.
Yeah.
You know.
But maybe she just wants some time off from her kids.
I would have thought if you've got a 10 and a 12 year old, they'd be perfectly happy sitting in economy and not having the parents. You know, pestering them every 5 minutes. Are you going to eat that? Do you want some more food? Do you remember like we used to do when you were about 10 or 12?
Still do now. Wait, have you eaten lunch?
Should we transition at this stage? And I think it's time we had a bit of music. We'll start with yours, which I think you've just chosen this, simply so you can correct me on my pronunciation of Kanye.
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 Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so no,
he's
I picked this
he's
because
got
he's got
album.
A new album. This is his eighth album mm-hmm. after The Life of Pablo, and it's called Ye, like Kanye,
just Y-E,
which is what people have called Kanye for ages. So I'm like,
they just call him Ye.
Yeah, like I'm on.
Can
I
do that? Call him Ye.
Yeah.
Ye.
No, because I wouldn't say you're a fan. We're going to listen to the song called I Thought About Killing You.
Should we hear a bit of the song? And then,
oh,
we'll check us up at the
that's
end of the
better.
Song. Yeah, here we go.
Most beautiful thoughts are always besides the darkest. Today I seriously thought about killing you. I contemplated premeditated murder. And I think about killing myself, and I love myself way more than I love you, so today I thought about killing you.
Today I thought about killing you by the man that I know as Ye. So, what's Ye saying there?
Someone had said it's a schizophrenic discussion with himself. Kanye is unsure whether it's his true self he wants to destroy or merely the conceptual one. And I think it's a lot about kind of his mental health issues. So he's had bipolar for a long time and has been quite open in saying that he's got bipolar. And the album cover is just a picture that he took on his iPhone, I think, of like the Rocky Mountains on his way to the like first listening session. It just says, it's like his writing, it says, I hate being polar, being bipolar. It's awesome.
He's married to one of the Kardashians.
He's married to Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. It's hard to support him anymore because of the whole, because he's supporting Donald Trump, and then...
Oh, is he supporting Trump?
Yeah, he's a Trump supporter.
Yeah. And whereas Kim, we reckoned last week, is not particularly a Trump supporter.
No, Kim is a Clinton supporter. And so my keeping up with the Kardashians bit of news today...
Oh, actually, before we do that, we ought to have my bit of music.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
As if.
We're ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. I've got so many good, smooth links
You've
today.
Got so many brilliant links. But this is our musical spot, so it's Kanye, yeah. It's Kanye West.
So we'll leave you with a cliffhanger. Kanye is relating to our Kim Kardashian, our Kardashian news today.
Which we'll do next. So we'll do the Kardashians next. But first of all, my music, because this week it's Kanye West versus Kanye West versus Badfinger. Now, Badfinger, you probably have never heard of.
No, I thought it was maybe a Game of Thrones character, because this character's called Littlefinger.
Is there? Well, this is Badfinger. Do they remind you of anybody at all?
Beatles.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. They were the first group signed to the Beatles Apple label. You know there's always going to be a Beatles connection.
They made a label and picked someone who was exactly like them.
They were originally called the Ivies. But the interesting thing was they sounded like a 60s beat group, didn't they?
Could get them together with the Hollies, and then you'd have the Hollies and the Ivies.
Yes, you could. Also, what a great idea. But they did sound like a beat group, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of emerged when beat music was sort of all over. It was moving into Pink Floyd and
stuff that was a bit more edgy.
Yeah, so they were a bit sort of out of time. But he wrote some brilliant songs, including, and we're going to just play you 7 Seconds.
Oh, I didn't realise we were having 2 songs this week.
Well, no, we're not. But 7 Seconds.
Some of us just had to allude to a second track.
7 Seconds. Have you got 7 Seconds?
No.
What do you have now? Here's another song that Pete Ham wrote while he was with Badfinger. How great is that song?
Brilliant. Who else did the version of that?
Well, Harry Nilsson had a big hit with it in 72. And then there was an awful, awful version, which we heard in the car on Sunday, by Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that's who I'm. Yeah. That's the version I know.
That's the song stripped down exactly as it should be. And she does this ridiculous...
Well, she does a lot of twirls on trills.
Oh, ridiculous vocal twirls on that one.
Another cliffhanger for you. I've got a piece of Beatles...
You have.
News the Beatles for you. News.
Let me just finish with Badfinger there.
Yeah, sorry.
So they did these great songs, but as I say, they were sort of out of time. It's a tragic story because it was all moving on to progressive rock. They're often credited with introducing power pop, which was a genre around about the late 60s, early 70s. The bad news about Badfinger, who, like I say, are a little bit of history that's completely gone. You never hear Badfinger on any radio station at all, is that their business manager sort of ran off with the money. The business manager was called Stan Polley. Believing his finances had been wiped out, Pete Ham, the guy, let's remember, who wrote this... I can't live if living is without you.
You've had about a minute of music.
Believing his finances had been wiped out, he hanged himself in his garage.
Aww,
3 days before his
really sad.
3 days before his 28th birthday in 1975. He left a note telling his pregnant wife and her son that he loved them. It read, "I will not be allowed to love and trust everybody. This is better, Pete. P.S. Stan Polly," who was the business manager, "P.S. Stan Polly is a soulless bastard. I will take him with me." That is the tragic story.
Whoa,
of Badfinger.
That's which, really tragic.
Now we must get on with Kardashians.
This is the... It's from, like, the Sun or something. I don't even know. I've stopped paying attention because I have to go through all these newspapers to find stories for the Kardashians that are all just like, okay, hello. Anyway, this is the headline. Kim Kardashian admits she was so furious with Kanye over slavery comments, she cried and screamed at him.
Those are the comments where he said slavery was a choice.
Yeah. So the stars, it's kind of come out because of after the album. One of the songs is about the song Wouldn't Leave. He raps about the fierce backlash he faced after he boldly told TMZ.
Yeah, TMZ, it's an American website.
I didn't know whether it was like people said Times or something like that.
No, TMZ.
TMZ during a live interview that 400 years of slavery sounds like a choice.
Yeah, TMZ is, they were the website that had all that stuff about Meghan Markle's dad. He was talking to
them. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so yeah, she just was not happy about it and she didn't speak to him for weeks afterwards.
Right. And that's it really for Kardashians this week.
Yeah, nothing's much has happened really. There was another article about what products do we need to get Kim Kardashian's glow for the summer, but I decided to go with this one.
Well done. I'm going to give, in the middle of this, I'm going to leave a 2 second gap for advertising. On Acast, they like to have a little bit where they can advertise. We have no idea what's being advertised, but whatever it is, I'm sure it's great. Buy it.
I either use it all the time.
We always use it. Do we ever not use it?
Never.
Yeah. Were we using it this morning?
We were.
And were we enjoying it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So whatever it is that's...
We did this last week. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's been done.
No, it's catchphrase. Darling.
Oh, catchphrase. Like,
see, the problem is you didn't grow up with 1970s sitcoms in Britain where they were basically, if you watch something like Allo Allo or It Ain't Half Hot Mum or Heidi High, it was the same thing every week.
Those sounded completely made up.
No, those are real programmes, I promise you. If you grew up with all that stuff, you'll know that there were similar, what you would call tropes, running through the programmes week after week. And the familiarity of these tropes, people loved. And that's what we're doing here. So, whatever it is that's being advertised, how much do we love it?
Lots.
Lots and lots and lots. Often they like to advertise, if it's Acast, they like to advertise their own podcasts.
Oh, you know, well then.
Other podcasts in the middle of it.
And other podcasts? No. They need no other podcasts.
Some of these other podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, are very, very good.
Yeah.
That maybe are very, very good. Do we like them?
Yeah, we like them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There we are. We've done our duty. I couldn't help noticing, Ruth, that during that last bit, and in fact even now, you're yawning slightly.
He's making stuff up so he can make it a good podcast.
No, you
That's
were...
That's wrong.
You, no, I you did. Yawned. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not judging. But you did yawn. And this is something that parents have to understand about teenagers, is that you will
we're
be...
tired.
You're tired. And...
most of the time.
You're tired. And there is scientific backing to the fact that you're tired.
Yeah, we need so much more sleep than you could possibly get.
So much more sleep. Teenagers are unfairly demonised by a society that is just beginning to study...
it's my first article about teenagers that I'm really enjoying.
Right, enjoy this. Teenagers are unfairly demonised by a society that's just beginning to study the enormous loss of grey matter in their brains during adolescence, according to a leading neuroscientist.
Do I need the grey matter?
Well, apparently you do. Sarah Jane Blakemore, who's... look, it's not me, she's a leading...
why are we not more worried about this if I'm losing bits of my brain?
It doesn't matter. Sarah Jane Blakemore, who is a leading neuroscientist, says that moodiness, risk-taking...
I don't think I'm very moody at
all. You're not. But some are. Some teenagers are. So some people will identify with this. Said that moodiness, risk-taking, sleepiness... and embarrassment at parents should be sympathetic.
Ding, ding, ding! We have a winner.
And embarrassment at parents should be sympathised with and understood in the context of the changes in the adolescent brain. MRI studies showed that between childhood and adulthood, the brain underwent a substantial pruning of its synapses and an enormous 17% reduction in grey matter in the prefrontal cortex.
Can feel my synapses pruning.
They're pruning like mad. The Professor of Cognitive Neuroscience at UCL, that's University College London, says...
thanks, I would never have known.
Said that the and sarcasm apparently is one of the... it doesn't say that, but... added that, but you do speak fluent sarcasm, as we were discussing the other day. The Professor of Cognitive Neuroscience says that the education system should be altered to take these changes into account. She advocated allowing later starts to the school day to help circadian rhythms or the biological clock, and an appreciation of the key stage 3 dips, that's when you're younger, obviously, when the educational performance of children falls, apparently between the age of 11 and 14.
I think that is so true, because I was well smart when I was like 10 years old and did really good in my SATs. Then I got to high school and I was so dumb. Like, not so dumb, but like more dumb. And now I feel like I'm finally...
yeah, you're well on course now, aren't you?
I feel like you do have a dip, but I don't even think you realise it, because maybe everyone else is dipping at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the school day should definitely be later, because they say you need like 10 hours sleep, I think it is, for teenagers. So I have to get up for school at 6:30. So I'd have to... 6:30, 5:30, 4:30, 3:30, 2:30, 1:30, 12:30, 11:30. 10:30, 9:30, 8:30. I'd have to go to sleep at 8:30.
You would have to go to sleep before Love Island.
Yeah, I can't miss Love Island.
No. Well, this is...
I'm just saying, like, I get home from school and how tired am I?
Tired and hungry.
And then I've got loads of... yeah, the hungry bit is not... it's my fault, yeah. And then you've got homework to do, but they're not taking into account that you've been up since 6:30 when you should have been getting up at 11:30.
Well, now you have scientific backing for...
not 11:30, that's maybe a bit late.
But you have scientific backing for your views on that. On the homework issue, a school district on the outskirts of New York City says it's considering a proposal from 2 fifth graders. How old would fifth graders be in America?
Quite a lot younger. So I'm a junior in high school. Fifth grade, I think, is in middle school.
I have no idea.
Do you know what's happened? I would really like to know, though. I should Google
it. So would I. And, well, we can Google it some other time. Don't Google it now.
No, I'm not going to. I bet it's like 12.
The problem with this is I've cut this out of The Independent, who have a staff of about 3 people. And basically what they've done is they've just reprinted it directly from the American agency, thinking that we'll know what they mean when they say 2 fifth graders. This is supposed to be an English newspaper, and it has a school district on the outskirts of New York City, so it's considering a proposal from 2 fifth graders, as if we know here, to get rid of homework. Christopher DeLeon and Nico Keeley, in their final year at Farley Elementary School, said they... oh, they're in the final year at Farley Elementary School. Don't help me either. Said they decided to petition for the ban because of homework pressures. WNBC TV, WNBC TV, reported that was a little private joke there for people who've watched the film about Howard Stern, the famous American DJ.
Oh, it'd be a big group there.
Oh, yeah. WNBC. Because he's been told how to pronounce WNBC. Anyway, WNBC TV reported the district was already considering how to rethink home assignments, saying they agreed with the students' points. Mm. And this is all just straight from an American...
My French teacher doesn't give us, like, holiday homework because she's like, you should be working... Revision is different because if you've got exams coming up, you're going to have to work in holidays. But generally, she's like, I don't give you holiday homework because you should work hard enough in term time that you don't need to have extra work for the holidays.
Can I just say, I'm doing you a big favour in introducing you to arcane references such as Heidi High, Howard Stern... Badfinger, etc. Because it means that by picking up on this old culture, you can sometimes understand what they're talking about in the news. I was watching the news today and they were talking about Brexit, right? And different forms of Brexit. Mm-hmm. And saying there's one form of Brexit, which is a very soft Brexit, and we stay a member of the customs union, etc., yeah, etc., which is being called the Hotel California Brexit. You can check out, but you never leave. And I thought the only
that's quite clever, actually. No, in fairness, that's quite a bit, like, what's it called? What's the word when it's, like, quite far away? Like,
obscure reference?
No, when it's, when something is not really that closely related, like, tangential. That's quite a tangential reference, even if you do know the Eagles.
But I thought...
Because you have to think Hotel California and then a line in Hotel... Like,
and the Eagles obviously weren't talking about Brexit in the song, because it was way before Brexit.
Yes.
And now we're going to continue talking about popular music, I understand. You have something about the Beatles.
I've got a conspiracy theory for you.
All right.
So this is a conspiracy theory that the Beatles never existed.
Ah, right.
Because there's one that, you know, John Lennon was killed because he knew about UFOs, and one that says Paul's actually dead. But this is that they never existed at all. So, the Beatles were a fake band staffed by a revolving cast of almost identical actors. A website called The Beatles Never Existed, which I've visited, and is at like two paragraphs, and it's been kind of closed down, I think, like the people who ran it. They allege that grueling schedules led to the decision of alternate Beatles clones. The founder of the fan page blog, Dory, states, even if one or two photos are doctored here or there and someone had surgery, why don't they all match? Later on in the website, it says that Paul McCartney has at least 12 different documented multiples. One alleged fake Paul was uncovered after he appeared to lose an eye colour changing contact during the We Can Work It Out music video. Have you watched this music video?
I will have seen it at some
point.
Did you notice
him losing an eye contact?
No, I didn't.
Well, anyway, it happened. Like you, I was not convinced. But as I did a bit more digging and went through a few more things, there was one thing that completely... I'm on board now.
Are you on
board? So there's a picture of 1964 Paul, who has attached earlobes, you know, like mine, where there's no earlobe, it's just straight onto the face.
Yeah.
And then later Paul has detached earlobes. Your earlobes don't change.
No, it may be the way the picture's
honestly,
been taken.
Fully believe. And also there's a picture of, like, 1963 Paul, who's quite short, and then like 1969 Paul is like way taller.
Growth spurt. He was 63. He was a teenager. He was 19.
Yeah,
63.
Well, that's what they want you to believe.
You think so?
And there's pictures of Ringo where he's small and then tall. Like in the beginning, he was tall and then.
Well, they say the camera never lies. The camera does lie a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well,
that's my explanation for that. There's also, I don't know whether you've heard of a thing called Photoshop.
These pictures, like, there's ones where they've, like, layered their faces over and they, like, reuse one of the Pauls. Like, 1963 Paul is also 1967 Paul. Honestly, Dad, you need to take a look.
Well, I will take a look. But as far as I'm concerned, the Beatles not only existed, but, and I don't know whether I've said this before on the podcast, were the greatest band that ever lived.
Maybe were a band.
Not just that, the greatest thing that ever lived. You know, better than the 1966 World Cup winning team.
There was another one, when I was going through, like, conspiracy theories to find this one, there was another one that, like, Barack Obama controlled the weather. A lot of people, like, you mention that, and they're like, yeah, but no one really does. And you're like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I think we do really know.
So, finally, I've got my meme of the week.
Right.
And this is, mad how when you're waiting for your takeaway to be delivered, you can hear every car door closing in a 5-mile radius. It's quite funny, isn't it?
That is quite funny.
Because you do. I always remember waiting for the Chinese, and then you stand up at the window and you're like, what car was that? Is it my Chinese takeaway car?
Mm. No, that's absolutely true. Well, it was very good. And that's the thing. I mean, just talking about takeaways, did you read about the student who was so frightened of spiders and she couldn't get any of her friends to remove a spider from her flat? So she phoned up Deliveroo and asked them for a meal so that the Deliveroo driver would kill the spider for her or get rid of the spider for her. So, which I looked at that story, it was a paragraph in the papers, and I thought, there you are. If you want a definition of snowflake, it's right there.
That's quite sweet, I think.
Ruthie, that's it for this podcast,
that
I think.
Wraps it up.
Number 17, I think that wraps it up. So,
thank you for listening.
And it's time to sack it off, is it?
Yep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.